You're listening to SBS News.
A day after Daniel Andrews confirmed he and his staff would be handing over their phone records to Victoria's hotel quarantine inquiry, his top public servant resigned for misleading the inquiry. The Secretary of Victoria's Department of Premier and Cabinet, Chris Eccles, announced he was stepping down after his phone records showed he made a two-minute phone call to the then Chief Police Commissioner Graham Ashton on March the 27th. That was the day the hotel quarantine program was set up, which involved the recruitment of private security contractors. In September, Mr. Eccles told the inquiry he couldn't remember calling Graham Ashton. In a statement, he says it's clear he did make a phone call, but that doesn't mean the decision to use private security came from him or the Premier's department. Mr. Eccles says he's stepping down because he doesn't want to distract from the government's response to the pandemic. Daniel Andrews says Mr. Eccles made the right choice.
He had indicated to the inquiry that he'd not received a call. It's clear that he had, and I believe that he's made the right choice. It wasn't a matter of me having to instruct him. He'd made a decision that his position was not tenable. So on that basis, I didn't need to have a conversation with him to urge him to do something that he'd already decided to do.
The hotel quarantine failures led to Melbourne's second wave with thousands of infections and hundreds of deaths. Victoria's opposition leader Michael O'Brien held a news conference surrounded by 791 Australian flags planted in a lawn to represent most of the state's deaths.
We'll be putting a motion of no confidence in Daniel Andrews and his government because Victorians cannot have confidence in a government that has let so many people down. Not just these 791 Victorians and their grieving families, but the millions who've been locked up, the thousands who've seen their businesses closed, and the hundreds of thousands who've been put out of work.
With another 15 new cases in Victoria, Daniel Andrews says calls to end the restrictions and reopen the economy ignore the science and what's occurred in other parts of the world.
It just completely ignores the science of this. Because I can tell you what happens if we open up on 15 cases and 9.9 at this point in time. If we open up right now, then it will be almost impossible for us to keep this thing contained. And every jurisdiction in the world that's done it has had that same challenge.
An epidemiologist who's carried out modelling for the Victorian government says trying to eliminate COVID-19 in Victoria is no longer practical. Professor Tony Blakely from the University of Melbourne says elimination would be too difficult given the approach being taken in New South Wales.
I advocated for elimination in July, so the fact that I'm saying we should put it aside now has got gravity. It's just getting too hard now, as we've been in lockdown for too long. A key consideration is that New South Wales has got cases again, and they've made it very clear that they don't believe long-term periods of elimination is possible. So for Victoria to try and do it from where we are now without New South Wales also eliminating would just probably not be wise and would be too hard at this point.
The community outbreaks in Melbourne triggered by the hotel quarantine failures led to scrutiny and criticism of Victoria's contact tracing efforts. But Professor Blakely says the data he's now seeing suggests there have been major improvements.
Victoria now has, based on the metrics we see, a contact tracing system that is achieving the same targets as New South Wales. So contact tracing should be up for it now, and we certainly hope it is. We're going to need it to be up for it, because if we're going to relax a little bit more on the restrictions and then a bit more again, without the case loads going up to 100 or 500 a day, contact tracing is going to be critical.
Daniel Andrews is forecasting only minor changes to the current restrictions, with a revised roadmap to be released this weekend. Some of Victoria's school students returned to on-campus classes, with the remainder due back on October the 26th. The principal of Elstonwick Primary School in Melbourne's southeast, Michael Portaro, says his school has done the necessary preparation for a COVID-19 case.
Being prepared for an outbreak is something that stays at the front of my mind all of the time. But if we put in place the necessary precautions and we prepare, we know that if that unlikely event comes around, that we'll be in the best position to take action really swiftly.
Professor Tony Blakely says outbreaks in schools are inevitable, because children can transmit the virus, although not as much as adults. He welcomes the return to school and says mitigating the risks is the key. Professor Blakely says teachers should keep their masks on as much as they can, even though they have an exemption for when they're in the classroom.
If they can, if it's appropriate, for example, if they're sitting up at the desk while the kids are doing a task, it would be sensible. But I don't think it's always going to be possible because of the need for children to see the enunciation and the fact that they're going to be in that same environment for a long period of time. What might be more astute, though, is when the teachers go to the staff room to have their cup of tea, keeping distance there, and when they can wear masks wearing them when they're around the other adults. These are all tricky decisions, but as much as you can do to mitigate the risk when it's appropriate, please do mitigate the risk.
Remote learning highlighted what was called a digital divide, where students from low-income families struggled without internet access at home. The chief executive of State Schools Relief, Sue Karzis, says her not-for-profit organisation directed its funding to help those students.
There were many families who didn't have internet and who didn't have devices for the children, you know, for the children in their family. So we had to pivot immediately and divert all of our funding towards providing internet, laptops, desks and chairs and things like stationery packs for those families who are really finding it tough.
With conventional fundraising efforts out of the question because of the pandemic, Sue Karzis says State Schools Relief has partnered with My Charity Change to enable people to donate via an app.
It's a novel way of people being able to make a big difference. So you can choose to round up an amount per week. So it can be $2 a week. And you don't notice it. It's, as you're shopping, it gets rounded up to the nearest dollar. But that $2, if everybody donates $2 a week, can make such a big difference to an organisation like ours, which is trying to fund textbooks and uniforms and shoes for kids to get to school feeling like everyone else. So it's a really huge contribution that people can make, a big change with their change. So it's a really... And we think, particularly because schools haven't been able to hold fundraisers, so part of the way that we fundraise is schools having fundraising days for State Schools Relief, but they haven't been able to do that, so we're really conscious of the fact that we are going to be needing those funds more than ever.
New South Wales reported one locally acquired case and five cases in hotel quarantine. Queensland went another day without any new cases. And you can keep up to date on the coronavirus in your language at sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Greg Dyatt, SBS News.